Well, this parable, of course, doesn't need a preacher, does it? Because Jesus gives the explanation. So you can't really deviate from the truth, can you, of what's there. I'm not really going to look at that, but I want to perhaps illustrate in a moment or two the different kinds of ground that are found and how we find that in our work at Caring for Life. But just two things struck me about this parable. Firstly, that the sower wanted a harvest. The farmer wanted a harvest. He wanted to generate something. He wanted to produce something. He wanted to see an effect. He wanted his work to find fulfillment. He wanted there to be something seen for his efforts. And of course, the farmer is God himself, isn't it? And that encourages me that God actually desires a harvest in his world. He hasn't just left the world to kind of run wild like a wilderness and hopefully something beneficial, something fruitful will appear. God's managing it. God's working it. God's got an input. He's interested. He's attentive. He's, by his Holy Spirit in our day and generation, moving and shaking and preparing ground that when his word's preached, there is a harvest of some shape or other. God expects a harvest, and that encourages me as someone who's involved in a Christian ministry, but also Caring for Life is very much a Christian mission, and that's how I view myself. I view myself as a missionary to Yorkshire, being brought up in Derbyshire. I've moved over the border, I've had all my vaccinations, and I've moved into Leeds, and very much dealing with a tribe, a small group of people that I knew nothing about, who talk a slightly different language to what I talk, who've got a different world view to what I have. I'm not just talking about following Leeds United Football Club, but the kind of people that we minister to at Caring for Life are really a little tribe, like going to Papua New Guinea and meeting a people there that you don't understand and they don't understand you, and you've got to learn about how they live and get involved in their lives and trying to get alongside them and earn their trust. It's just the same in Leeds with our people at Caring for Life, people who are kind of a tribe apart. They're set apart, they're distinct, they're hidden away in the urban jungle there in Leeds, and very few people reach out to this group. So Caring for Life is a ministry, it's a mission, reaching out with the love of Jesus to this group who it might otherwise never hear. You see, they're not a kind of contingent who would naturally come to church. They're not often people who can even read. So if they picked up a tract or saw a leaflet or a poster, well, it would mean nothing to them. And so I'm a missionary to a tribe in Yorkshire who live and work and worship with these people, hoping to bring the light of the gospel, the seed of the good news, into their lives. And so it encourages me that God actually expects a harvest. He plants a seed and is expecting a harvest. And so I'm encouraging that. I'm expecting that we shall see God do his work, that the seed will germinate and grow and produce fruit in the lives of these people that we deal with day to day. And the second thing that I noticed is that it's a good seed that God uses. It's not just any seed. He didn't just sort of think, oh, well, this will do. It's the seed of his word, the truth. It's pure seed. It's the best seed. It's the most powerful seed. It's life-giving, life-changing seed. God's word, the word of truth, this gospel, this good news, this invitation to come and be reconnected with our Creator, to find a sense of place and purpose, a real identity in God's world, in God's economy. And so this is good seed, and that's what we're ministers of, as missioners and missionaries to these people. We're handing out good seed, the best seed, effective seed, life-giving seed. But we come across all kinds of territory. Back in the day when Jesus was talking, the farmer, the sower would go out to sow, and of course he didn't have a tractor and a precision drill that made rows in the fields and dropped the seed at the absolutely optimum distance apart that they would grow and develop to their maximum potential. No, he would walk down the field and reach in his bag and he'd sort of scatter it like this, and that's why the seed fell on all kinds of ground. It fell on the ground that he'd prepared, but it also fell on the pathways around the field. It fell in the bits that were uncultivated on the edges. It fell in the weedy patches as well. But the seed's got to be broadcast, because as it says in Ecclesiastes, you don't know which is going to succeed, whether this or that, or whether they'll both do as well. And so we're charged with the broadcasting, with the spreading, with the sharing of this good seed of God's gospel. And when we meet people, who knows how they're going to respond to that? Who knows what kind of soil they are, what kind of soil their souls are, how they're going to respond to this good seed of truth? We get different kinds of people at Caring for Life, and they have different, present different opportunities for us to help them. One or two characters you'd describe as a bit rocky, not very, you know, a bit rough around the edges, kind of individuals that don't fit in very well, struggle to engage with us. They live lives that are very chaotic. There's no kind of rhythm or discipline or pattern to them. They just seem to stumble from one catastrophe to the next, and somehow they seem to survive. Affected by all kinds of influences. Really hard to engage with. Then we get some thorny characters. Well, they're really prickly. Oh dear. Say the wrong thing and they're soon on your back, down your throat. Very thin-skinned. Maybe because they've had a life of bad experiences where they're just expecting people to say the wrong thing or do the wrong thing or just be let down again. Sometimes they come into Caring for Life and they sort of settle down, and we engage with them for a while, and something happens in their lives outside of the farm and they just get overwhelmed by circumstances, overtaken by events, or maybe they just make bad choices in life. I often feel that the people that we deal with at Caring for Life are like an open book. We see all their problems. It's writ large. It's not really often very hidden. It's very clear. And sometimes their faults and their failings and their mistakes are very evident to us as well. Whereas for most of us, we manage to cover up and keep out of sight, don't we? From most people, our own faults and failings. But we're just the same deep down. We're just the same. It's just that we manage to cover ours up. We're perhaps just a bit more wise, worldly wise. Maybe we've got the wherewithal to paper over the cracks, maybe through spending money, just living in better areas, kind of things that we do, people that we meet with. But these folks are very raw, open, easy to read. And for me, often I feel actually they're more like a mirror. Often I think they serve me as much as I serve them, because I see my own faults as I look around at these others, and I see actually, you know, I share life with you. I'm just have the same needs as you. Often my needs are hidden, but I have the same need of God's grace and God's help in my life too. Some of our folks live in dangerous situations, like the seed that fell among the thorns, thorny ground. They live in bad relationships, dangerous places. and it's for us to extract them where we can from there and provide safe sanctuary and security. But of course, the seed that I haven't referred to is the stuff that fell on the path that was taken by the birds. It disappeared almost before hitting the ground. And this last year, in the month December through into January, one of our housing support workers, being their team, John, lost three of his gentlemen, died suddenly. And that reminds us actually that our opportunity is very limited, brief, can be snatched away in just a moment. And so we need to make the most of every opportunity that we have to be kind and generous and compassionate to these folk, and to share where we can explicitly the good news of Jesus, point them to the Saviour in every way we can. Times for some are very short. So the kind of opportunities are like these soils, and the kind of responses are just the same as well. You know, for many, the gospel seed, when they do hear it, is like that footpath. It just seems to bounce off. You know, it doesn't matter what you say. They're so got a rhino skin, I guess. They've had to develop this self-preservation cocoon or shell against the world. And even good things, good news, bounces off them. They're impervious to the gospel. As good as it might be, as much hope as it might offer, as joyful as it might be, the good news, the good seed just bounces off like the path. And then there's the seed that lands in the rocky places, and I think of folks who, within a few visits to the farm, are really engaged. They come along to Bible study, they're lapping it all up. They really love the sense of belonging, the family, the love, the interest that people are sharing in their lives. Excuse me. And you think, wow, these are just, they get it. And then the next minute they're gone. Just like the sun scorched them and withered them away. Seem to thrive very quickly, but quickly move on. And I think it perhaps reflects their lifestyle of just taking for the moment and then moving on. They're living in the now. They're not really living in the long term. They're not thinking about next week or next month or next year, and they're certainly not thinking about eternity. They're just thinking about now. What's in it for me now? How can I best, what's best for me just now? And maybe some time at Caring for Life is just their fix for just now, till something more attractive comes along. We had a lad that we supported on and off for years, and he came back into Caring for Life only less than a month ago. And it was great to have him back. He was very enthusiastic, and he wanted to be in this project, he wanted to do that project. So we lined him up to work on the poultry project. He came, did an afternoon's work. I said, right, be here next Wednesday, but just for the afternoon. Well, he came at 9 o'clock in the morning, so full of enthusiasm, and you know, couldn't wait to be on the project. I said, the problem is that we haven't really got space for you in the morning. There's really just a slot in the afternoon. Anyway, that's all right. I'll just see you next week. Well, next week came, and he got a doctor's appointment. The week after then, he apparently needed to go to the hospital. The week after that, we couldn't get him at all on the phone. Next minute, he's just not interested. And yet, when he was there, you think it was the best thing since sliced bread. That he was in it for the long haul. And yet, as soon as something else comes along, so easily distracted, so easily taken away. Just like the seed that falls on the rocky ground. And then many of our beneficiaries are like the seed that falls in thorny places. It's a real struggle for them to believe. It's a real struggle for them to grow in the faith, because so many pressures, so many bad things have gone on, so much baggage all around them, casting that shadow over their lives, not enabling, letting them grow at all. And really difficult for them. They get a grasp of the gospel, such a struggle. Life holds so many challenges. How can God really help me through all this stuff? And they try for a while, but become overwhelmed just with life. But there are some, like the good ground, the good seed, who come and into that place of trust, not only trusting us as carers, but trusting our Heavenly Father as their Heavenly Father, trusting Jesus as their Saviour. And in a really simple way, and yet a profound way, in a very deep way, come to live in faith in Him and produce fruit. You see, change lives, and they absorb, become absorbed in the Christian family. What a lovely thing it is to see people come into faith despite all their difficulties, all their hardships, all the struggles, all the disadvantages that they have in life. So that's like the soils. And just talk about four types of response that we have to the gospel. We're a fellow that's we've rescued from a very dangerous situation where he was being abused by his neighbours. Basically, they realised when his gyro check was coming, and so they used to come round at 2 o'clock in the night, hammering and banging on the door, on the window, till he got up, because he was frightened of them disturbing the neighbours. And they'd take him in the middle of the night round to the post office to draw money out of the ATM. So they were using him as their own cash machine. And the last time they did that, took £200 out of his account. They just knew that he was there. He was a soft touch. He was incapable of resisting them at all. And we found him a new place to live, a safe place away, quite a long way away from where he used to. And he's come along to the Bible studies on a Thursday night, and he's reading his Bible. And you'd say he'd come to a faith. In a simple way, he's keen, he comes along to our church now quite regularly. He's a quick grower, a bit like mustard seed, you know, a cress that you grow on blotting paper, or a broad bean in a jam jar. You know, you can see it grow. Really quick grower. There are others that, you know, are going to be a slow time germinating, with a young woman who was a nurse in Nottingham and had a mental health breakdown, and lives now in Leeds, and very, very capable, intelligent, loads of ability, and yet just struggles with this crippling condition. And she's asking some deep, deep questions at the moment. On Tuesday night, when we met for our other Bible study with her, she's there, right, she's very much on the verge of coming to faith. But it's been a long, long process, a long time. And I think of people like Michael, who's been at Caring for Life for probably the best part of 30 years. He's only been a Christian 8 years, 8 out of 30. There's a lot of tending and weeding and watering, isn't there, for that seed to grow. But now he's a member of God's family. He's my brother in Christ. Slow growers. And then you get some like a fellow that's joined the agricultural team only about the last 12 months, my age, just a bit older. He's a what I'd call a catch crop, so at the very end of the season of his life, come to faith quite quickly through his sister. And the catch crops, when you've perhaps had potatoes in the ground, then you think you'll sow something like fodder beet or something that's going to grow really quickly at the end of the season. You're getting two crops out of one field, and this fella's come to faith very quickly. And he's got loads of problems himself, mental health issues. Had a job for 20, 30 years, not worked for 20 years, and there's a son who's spent above half his life in young offenders institutions and things like that. So lots of challenges, and yet has a real grasp of the gospel and relationship with our Heavenly Father. And then you've got other people like my friend Fred, who's a slow grower. He's going to be a sunflower one day, but it's going to take a long time. You know, it's just coming along gradually. A guy who can't read or write, who wouldn't know how old he was, when his birthday is, what his address is, hardly tell you the difference between colours, can't read the clock, all these kind of things. How on earth does he navigate life without those basic tools? How on earth can he come to any understanding about anything, let alone about deep things, about spiritual things, about eternal things? And yet God somehow has reached into his heart and into his soul, he's made a connection, and he knows that there's a God who he can pray to about anything. And sometimes it's embarrassing when he reminds us that we ought to pray for things. He's growing, he's on the journey. And will it be 30, 60 or 100 fold, who knows? Only God will see the fruit in his life. But different kinds of crops that we see growing in the lives of those that we care for. So thank you for being partners with us in this field, this little patch of God's world. God's the great farmer. He's expecting a harvest. That's a good thing, isn't it? Otherwise we might as well shut up shop and go home. But he's expecting a harvest. He encourages us to be involved and to share good seed, the gospel seed, and to expect good results. Now, it might not be this week, it might not be next year, but you know, in his time, God will give the increase. It's God that makes things grow, and we need to cast ourselves on him and look to him and his Holy Spirit to do that work which we cannot do.